extension entomologist at South Dakota State University. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
How are, well, it's a busy time of year for you, I suppose, maybe even slowing down a little bit, but let's, what I want to hit on first, and I know there's a few things that we want to talk about, but let's talk a little bit about getting ready for stored grain insects, because it seems like we see them around, but it's very important for prevention rather than trying to control them once we get them.
Yeah, that's correct, because once they're in the bin, they can be very difficult to get under control, and sometimes before we catch that they're in there, they can cause a lot of issues. So it's important to make sure we don't have a problem to start with.
So what do we do when we first get into that bin ready to store them? I know we're just getting started in some of the harvest, but still some time to clean out some of these. Is it really important to kind of get rid of that old grain at least?
That's correct. One of the things we get a lot of questions about here at SDSU is storing new grain on top of old grain. And the short answer is that I have is don't do it. You can do it, although it's going to take a lot more effort, a lot more scouting and management of that bin. And it just really increases the chances of having an infestation in that currently stored grain and having that insect move into the new grain once it's put on top. And so most of the times when people are having issues, it starts with having old grain on the bottom of the bin. So sanitation is one of the biggest things we can do, and it's not just inside the bin. It's also outside around the perimeter. Typically, we say to clean up about 10 feet around the bin all the way around, just to get sort of a perimeter set up where you have it really clean. There's no old grain. There's no weeds. There's really not a lot of vegetation because these insects, they can be in the different weeds or on plants, make their way into the bin. If there's old grain on the ground rotting or dust, a lot of times that will also draw them in. And then once they run out of that food, they move into the bin. Because even though these bins are weatherproof for the most part, they still have vents so that you can have temperatures controlled a little bit and have air movement so that stuff doesn't get too hot. And the insects are capable of making their way in through those vents as well as pretty much any other really small crevice. So it's important to go through the bin before you plan to put new grain into it. I recommend using a broom, or if you have a real good shop vac, use that to clean the dust out along the bottom. I know it takes a little bit of time, but getting that dust and any cracked kernels, that's going to go a long ways in preventing an infestation.
Now, the stored grain, what are we mostly concerned with? Indian meal moth and maybe some of the confused beetles, or what are we really concerned with?
So in the reports that I get a lot of times are the Indian meal moth, and a lot of times they'll be on the top of the grain. So when somebody's getting in the bin to check and see and make sure there aren't hot spots, they'll notice webbing, or if the grain's been stored on a wagon in a shed, a lot of times then they'll notice there's thick mat of webbing across the top of the grain. Those are from the Indian meal moth caterpillars. So that's one of the big ones we get a lot of reports about. Some of the other ones that we do see are the red flower beetle and also the confused flower beetle. They look really similar, so just in general we treat them about the same way because they're going to be doing the same thing. And a lot of times we'll find those, they'll be feeding on both the debris as well as if there's any kernels that they can get into because those are what we consider external feeders. So they're feeding on the dust or kernels that are any grain that's already compromised and they can actually get in and start feeding on. Whereas we do have internal feeders also, but these are typically weevils as well as one, it has several common names. It's the grain moth or rice grain moth. These can actually feed inside the kernels just on their own. They don't need to have a hole made for them. But you typically don't see those quite as much just because you kind of can catch that a little bit quicker because if you see those, you're going to have a lot of dust being made by them. And then you also notice holes directly into the grain when you're going and checking on it. So for the most part, we have issues with the external feeders in South Dakota. And one of the things that can be done, I know it's a busy time of the year, but when you do get time, is to run grain through a grain cleaner to try to get rid of as much dust and debris that you don't want in the bin as possible. and that can really help reduce some of these chances of infestation also.
Before you put it in, is it recommended to use a pre-bin treatment, kind of sanitize that with an insecticide?
That is a very good option, and it does work. One of the things you do with those is you have to read the label because they're all a little bit different. But most of the time, they'll say to clean the bin first, and then you can spray some of these chemicals on the floor as well as on the walls, typically 10 feet up. If you're going to be doing a pre-binning treatment of the bin itself, it's important to wear the proper protective equipment that the label recommends, especially a respirator, because you're in an enclosed environment, and so the chances of getting some drift on you are very high. And then some of these chemicals are also labeled so that you can spray them on the outside of the bin walls in the same manner, so about 10 feet up and around the perimeter, to really reduce the chances of those insects making their way in. So that's for the bin, and then there are also pre-binning treatments available for the grain and protectant insecticides. And a lot of those can be applied right at the auger. Some of them are dust, some of them are liquid. And then you can continue loading the grain into the bin. Some of them are also top dressing, so once the grain's in and it's leveled out, you can go in and put the insecticide on. And that's really to reduce the chances of the Indian meal moth, because when the top of the grain has a residual insecticide on it, those aren't going to be able to take advantage of that grain quite as well. So those are good options as well for really trying to reduce the impact of the insects. If a person doesn't want to work with chemicals too much and they have a bin that has a fan on it as well as a stirrator, they have a lot of opportunity also to use those tools to keep the insects from really being able to take advantage of that bin as well. Running a stirrator off and on will disrupt the insects. I know that you have to make sure that you don't get it stuck, so sometimes you have to make sure the bin's not too full. But running that and disturbing the insects is really useful, and then keeping the bin as cool as possible. So this time of the year, we don't have quite cool enough nights to really get that temperature down in the bin, but during the winter, on those days where it's almost too cold to be outside, running the fan can really reduce the temperatures of that grain and prevent those insects from being active. So that is another thing to consider as we move into winter.
And also make sure if you do treat that grain, make sure the how long you have to wait before you can sell that grain as well.
Most of the time, those are going to say anywhere from 7 to 30 days after you treat the grain. And just depending on the treatment, they last different amounts of time, but they do last longer in the bin than they do in the field for these insecticides, just because of the fact that they're in a pretty controlled environment where there isn't sunlight. So that helps them last a little longer, but the label will have that information specific to whatever insecticide is used. And then I should also mention that if an infestation is detected after the grain is stored, one of the better options for management is the use of a fumigant insecticide. However, these fumigant insecticides are very dangerous, and my recommendation is, even though a private applicator license allows you to use fumigant insecticides, really a professional should be hired to apply these. Because once the little canister or the foil is opened on a fumigant, those become active because they activate when they hit moisture in the air. And so having those around and not having the proper equipment can be pretty dangerous.
I want to move one more, and I know you have information on the iGrow that will talk about that as well, so they could go in and look at some of the chemicals they can use. But Adam, let's...
That's correct.
Let's talk a little about the soybean. We talked about the gall midge. Have you been seeing much of that around again? Looking for it now?
Well, we found it in quite a few counties this year. There are still quite a few counties on the eastern side of the state where we haven't found it, although we've looked. In some cases, we've driven through, I think, on almost every road in a county, and we haven't found a field. Once the beans started turning, though, it made it a lot tougher for us to find them, so we had to wrap that up. But we are still getting reports in of fields with a lot of lodging around the edges, and there are the signs based on what we're looking for with that fungus, the white fungus on the base of the plant, and then also the swelling of the plant right at the soil surface. So we see those, and we're pretty sure, we can't 100% confirm it because the midges, the gall midge larvae aren't out there anymore, but it sure looks like there's more fields than what we initially thought, even from what we could observe. So I think we had a lot of asymptomatic fields that were infested that we are seeing some lodging in. And so it's one of those things to watch for. I have heard that in fields that are affected by the pest, that picking up some of the beans with the bean heads a little bit difficult because they're so flat that essentially you just go right over the top of the down plants. But we can't do much for it this year, and over the winter and into next spring, we're going to be really looking into some potential treatments or at least some management strategies to try to reduce the amount of infestations we have in the state.
Well, Adam, we got to go, but we'll have to talk more on that coming up, and I know you'll have it on your meetings this winter. So thanks a lot for joining me today, and we'll talk to you again here shortly.
All right, sounds great. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Adam. And that's Adam Verenhorst, who's